Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton, and this episode is brought to you by Duonamic, maker of incredible door frame pull-up things that are hard to pronounce, but really easy to use. Yes, that's right. Along with me, as always, is the dynamic diva of double unders, Bethany McChesney.
I can't do them properly.
I know, neither can I, but I was just like practicing a little bit. I even watched a video just now because we got RX1 this weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And there's always a chance that in our division, there can be double unders.
Yeah.
Frightened. Because mm-hmm. it's something that I have severely procrastinated practicing on. So I'm like the person of persistent procrastinating.
I know. I never work on them unless it's coming up to a competition where they might be. So I should probably, if I actually want to be good at them, do it a little bit more consistently.
Yeah, I know. And like I can do them, but I'm really, really bad. So I mean, like they could be, okay, 50 double unders and I'll muddle my way through it.
Yeah.
I will truly live up to the ugly Dave moniker in the process. And if I had bare feet, I would be slapped silly. And speaking of Duonamics, I wanted to say this. So keep your eyes out soon for a post from us where, because we give away Duonamic Alivia systems to all the guests that come on the show. But now we're also going to start giving away, I think, two a month to listeners. And probably be through one of those Instagram post things. Haven't exactly worked out all the details, but yes, for everybody out there, you'll have a shot to win one. So keep an eye out for that. And if you don't win one, buy one, because that works just as good.
And we have a discount code for that too, right?
I think we do. We don't publicize that enough. We should. We have a discount code. So ask us for the discount code. Unless you win one, then you don't need it.
Yeah.
But you could buy one for your friend. You can buy me one. I have one, but my son needs one. He doesn't have one.
You could have one in all your rooms.
That's true. But the whole point of it is that it's easy to go from room to room. So anyway, sure. Your sunburn, what happened?
Well, today was my kid's track and field day.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's it. How'd they do? Come on. Like, this is
important well, stuff. So just my son competed and, he was top three in ball throw. That was kind of his main one. Mm-hmm. And then there was actually a bit of a debacle with his 80 meter sprint.
Controversy.
I know. And I was trying really hard not to like be that mom. I know. So the track meet started running a little bit ahead of schedule. And then so they just kept going with it instead of like taking breaks so that they stayed on schedule. So he was supposed to run at a certain time. I came 10 minutes before and he runs up to me and he's teary eyed and he's like, "Mom, you missed the whole thing." And I missed it too. And they ran it without me. So I guess they were like 30 minutes ahead that they started all of his heats. And so he showed up when he was supposed to in 15 minutes early. And they ran all the heats without him. So I went to the person running the event and I asked her and I know her too personally. And I said, "What happened? Why you started them early?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, sorry. We looked for Mason, but couldn't find him." And then that was it. I was like, there's no option, like there's no solution here. It's an 80 meter too. There's other boys groups running. I'm like, put him in another heat and time him. Like, let him run. It's felt to me like it was just like, oh well, no big deal. But there's only one track and field day all year. And my kid's been training and he was really looking forward to it. And he didn't do anything wrong. He showed up on time. He was just, they started running them early and maybe he missed an announcement. I don't know, but still just stick to the schedule and you don't have this problem. So he was pretty upset. And I just had to try to refocus him on his next event instead of throwing like, getting a little bit more upset at the mom, but I had to really control myself.
You know, we've gone through this stuff, like, and I mean, it's obviously a different scale, but I think, didn't this happen at Spartan to John?
World champs, yeah. And like, they were moving the schedule around like crazy because there was that 2-hour delay, and then they moved around the age group stuff. It just, instead of being everything 2 hours later, they kind of shifted things and put heats together, and he just missed an email. And yeah, he showed up when he assumed he would be starting, and his heat had just left, and they had left like a fair amount before, let's say like 45 minutes. And then they just were like, well, just go run then. but you won't count. And John was there to podium, and he had a very good chance of podium in his age group. And yeah, you travel all that way, and same thing, like there was no consolation for it. Like, we'll put you in the other heat and then we'll let your time stand. You missed it.
And here's the thing, like, and they at least sent him an email, but the email was that day, wasn't it?
It was all this stuff going on that morning.
Yeah. So you can't do that. If you send out an email 2 days before,
mm-hmm.
cool. That's great, right? That's enough notice that people should be aware. But the day of an event, you cannot make things earlier. Things get delayed, and we understand that. That happened. Yeah. You can't, and this is why I didn't want to detract from your son's thing, but I actually use my whole deal for the school, for anything, for any kind of competition. You can't run it early. You can't do it early.
Right.
Like, if everybody happens to be there, then yeah, you can say everybody okay with going early.
Right.
Freeze, fine.
Right.
But I mean, you go to a hockey tournament.
Right. And he was obviously missing because they said we sent some kids to try to find him. Like, well, then don't run it until you find him.
Yeah, you can't do
that. Why would you just choose to leave the kid out?
You went full fucking Karen.
Oh.
I
know.
Got in the car, honked the horn with the YouTube video on. Tell me why you won't let my son run. Tell me why.
I know. I was really holding back too. And I still kind of regret that I didn't make a little bit more of a stink about it, just because there were so many solutions I could have offered. But she was just like, nope. So, and then,
like,
but yeah, like, you can't do these things, or it's very common that elementary school cross or track meets go late. Like, yeah. You kind of just almost expect that they'll run late, but you can't start sending kids off early. And then the other part of it is, like, when you're working and you have parents who are working and they're trying to show up at the times to see their kid run that 80 meter dash down the street, and, you know, they've readjusted their meetings and their lunch breaks to make this work, and then they show up and they miss the race.
Let's athletics versus art debate here. Would they have made the school play go early just because, you know, all the kids showed up early? So let's go early, even though, like, your parents might not be here or you might not be there, but they wouldn't do that shit with the school play.
No.
But because it's athletics always takes that second door, you know, that's second place, because, oh, it's just gym. It's just,
yeah,
it's just running around. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Or like, my son trained for it too. And then to just... And I mean, he wasn't someone who was going to, he wasn't going to win it or any, but it was still really important to him. And it broke my heart. So then he had a 400 meter after that, and he did fairly well in that. So he kind of redeemed himself mentally, but I don't know. It hurt my heart from a track and field mother. And it's funny too, because I was like, this woman is probably slightly terrified because the track and field mom's son is the one that they left out of the race. And she was probably, I don't know if she was maybe nervous about me coming up to her, but, like, again, I could have offered her many solutions, like, to sort this situation out, but she was just so like, drama.
I feel for you, and I feel for him. Like, that sucks, because kids look forward to this crap for a long time. I would have looked forward to it. I would have been pissed off.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Track and field in elementary school was, like, the highlight of my year.
So I like to go on that. I don't like to run. I don't like to do all this stuff. Most of the time, I'm kidding around, right?
Yeah. But
I did track and field back in grade school, and I remember, like, my first big track and field day. I was so excited, and I got, like, 6 first place. You know, it's just like Jack, and all over the map as to what the events were.
But
it just happened to be that year where I was a farm boy, right, working on the farm, and hit my growth spurt and just slaughtered everybody. So, but I loved it. I would have been so ticked off if I got that. Oh, sorry, we did the shot put without you because, well, we could run early. That's how cheating starts.
Right. Well, then these people started coming. Other moms were like throwing these funny conspiracy theories about it because, ironically, or that's probably not the right use for the winner of this race was this woman's kid. So then they're like, she did it on purpose because she didn't want your son racing her son in DDM. And I was like, there's no way you could be that that conniving.
She demanded a drug test. And the drug test. Over caffeinated.
Yeah.
It's hopped up on gummy bears. It's wrong.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Well, anyway, I feel for you, bud. That one sucked. That's garbage.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So I, like I said, we got off track a little bit. I was getting ready for my double unders for RX1 this weekend. So I thought I'd ask you this. How do you train? Because with the RX1 races, they are similar to, like, they're hybrid race, but they're similar to OCR in that you really don't know what you're getting, right? You don't know what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. How do you tell people to prepare for the unpreparable, for not knowing what to do? So how do you prepare for an event like that?
I think, though, there's still just a lot of that, like, redlining, high heart rate, multi-movement type stuff, one thing into the other. So we just, like, in my training with RX1 type stuff is we do a ton of AMRAPs, like the 3x9 minute, 2x15. And you don't have to hit the length of the actual events. But just like that hard, heavy hitting, high stimulus type training.
That's kind of like the similar thing is like when you're training for a longer run and you're doing intervals, you're not always running, you know, the full distance of the run, right? When we're about to do an ultra, you don't run an ultra every day you're training. Did you do Murph? Did you do a Murph like thing or a substitute or a hand-drawn facsimile?
I didn't. And I actually just was reminded of it today when one of my clients came in and asked me if I had done Murph. And then I was like, oh, I forgot. I did it last year. It's 37 degrees Celsius here today. I went for a run and I almost died. I don't think I could have done Murph and not got sick.
I was outside working all day too, and it was pretty hot out all day. And I'm even like literally right beside the lake where we work. I could fall in the lake. I have to wear a harness sometimes so I do not fall in the lake. and it was still really hot, but it was pretty bad. But so a couple of things about it. One, I didn't see, and maybe because I didn't look as much, I didn't see as many outlandish, crazy 25-minute Murph claims, which is disappointing because those have become amusing and fun for me. and takes me down the rabbit hole of proving, no, you didn't. But yes. I didn't see as many of those. So I didn't get to do that. Two things about it. Alec Blinnis went to try again for his record attempt. And check out, he did a post about it, so I'm not spoiling anything. He didn't do a full live stream video, but he did not make it. And again, he said his primary factor probably was the heat and humidity. It was very hot where he was too. But he still put in like a 35-something, which is still freaking amazing. And also he wore a different vest this time. He didn't wear that hyperwear vest.
Okay.
Now, not knowing the breakdowns, I don't know how much difference his run were, because that's the only spot the hyperwear vest would provide an advantage on the runs. In the rest of it, it would actually be a disadvantage. Well, at least for the push-ups.
Because of the space that the 5'11 vests have for your chest.
5'11 vests. Not only do you have bigger plate there to hit in the ground, but 9 times out of 10, they dangle. And you buys you an extra couple inches, whereas the hyperwear thing is like wearing, you know, a dry fit shirt. You're going right to the ground. So I don't know how that affected him.
The last time there was a lot of talk about him not wearing the right vest. Like, if you're going to set the record, you have to set it in this type of vest. So he probably just did that so that people didn't give him a hard time about it.
I get that. But, and I said this when he did it, and I still believe it is, there's no real rules to this.
Yeah.
You know, like if you try to look up even a CrossFit standard for the rules, it's really hard. And if you found it, please send me a link and let me know, because I looked and I could not find a really good standard for it. Even for their push-ups, right? Like it's tough. So I thought when he did the push-ups with that, I was fine with the record he set, because he said, this is my best. He did it on a track. He did I was totally cool with it, and I accept that as the record. And if you don't accept it as a record, beat it and put it right. on a video and YouTube the whole thing yeah. and do it properly. And then I'll say, hey, you beat it. You have the record. Mm. Right? 'Cause somebody had to, I think anyway, somebody had to put it out there and say, I claim the record. Here is my evidence. If you think you can beat it, prove me wrong. And yeah. up till now, nobody's done it.
Yeah.
You know, so my mind, Alec still has it. And, you know, if somebody you say somebody else does, put it out there, show me, send me the mm-hmm. video.
So he does still have it.
Yeah, yeah. He just didn't break his own record this time.
Oh, his own record. Oh, okay. I thought he was trying to get it back.
No. He's still trying to break his own record. Riley came up with a really cool idea for Murph, and I jumped all over this. I think this is great. So we decided to, she decided, I don't want to do the whole thing. I'm not feeling very good. I'm just going to do a quarter with no vest. So she'd just go and she'd run like, what was, she'd run 400 meters mm-hmm. and then do five sets. It was partitioned to five sets mm-hmm. of 5, 10, 15, and then,
yeah.
run 400 meters. I thought that was pretty cool. I said, I like that. That sounds like a fun, quick,
good workout.
Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, you do yours and then I'll do it after you. So she did. And then just as she was getting done, I'm like, son of a bitch. I said, I should have got warmed up while she was doing it. And as soon as she finished her 400, tag in, jump in and do my 400 and then do it. And then she come back on and do it again. And we would kind of couples quarter a Murph out and do it as a couples workout. I thought that would be so much fun. It doesn't have to be a couple. It can just be a partner workout, right? But I thought yeah. that would be a great idea. That would be so much fun.
So then you would do it twice?
Yeah, exactly. So you'd each do a quarter twice.
Oh, okay.
I thought, well, that'd be good fun. I'd like that.
Yeah.
And so just if you're looking for a different way to do Murph.
You gotta try. Or different date ideas.
Exactly. Oh, come on. Workout dates are the best. It really are workout dates. Even I like a trail run date.
Yeah.
Or a hill training date, anything like that. That's really good. Yeah. That's why I like this trail we go to called Starkey. Because it's a short 2.5K loop. So even if you're not the same speed, you go different directions and you run by each other.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Dating tips with Ugly Dave.
Followed by fashion tips.
Fashion tips. I don't have fashion tips. No, just my new clean look.
Just your hair comments.
Oh, yes, my hair comments. Yes. I'm sorry. I find lately, though, I'm having a lot of people not knowing who I am.
Because you shaved your beard?
Yeah, because I shaved it. Don't know who I am. And actually, I recorded with Matt this week, and his wife came on for a little bit. And she didn't know who I was.
Really?
She's like, she's like, I think she was staring at me like I felt like I got hit by a truck or something, or like there was like, you know, spinach in my teeth or something. Or something. she was just searching to figure out what was going on.
There's something different about him, but I can't point it out.
No, and she even admitted she didn't know who I was.
Whoa.
So I just laughed. And I've had a lot too. I'm on a new job site and so many guys that I've known from the past that I haven't seen in years don't recognize me until I tell them who I am.
Weird.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's all right. It is what it is. So how'd you do at Spartan Ottawa?
Didn't go.
Oh no.
No. Oh, you didn't know I didn't go.
Yeah, of course I knew. I'm just
Oh, okay. That's weird. Yeah, my calf is still not great after the Toronto Spartan. So I sat that one out, which is good because I ran today and I still felt it. So
yeah, it looked like a cool course.
It did look really fun, actually. And again, they had all of the obstacles, twister, beater, the box, and the super, and they took them all out for the sprint.
Well, they had that's the rule.
Had nothing.
That's the rules. That's their thing. I mean, as much as I disagree with it, I'm like, stop nerfing the sprint.
Yeah,
I know it's an entry level thing, but people can still try those obstacles and they still would like to try those obstacles. And it's a lot more fun for those of us who actually want to run a competitive sprint.
Right. So then it's like, if you're a good obstacle person, why would you do the sprint? You don't get any of them.
Welcome to my world.
Right.
No, seriously. And I'm not ragging on Spartan, right? Like, especially Spartan Canada, they're doing a good job, but, yeah. And it's not their call. This is all headquarters and this is the standardization.
And right.
I just, for me, who is, you know, I'm, again, I like to say I'm really slow. I'm not that slow, but I'm slower than some, but I am really good at obstacles. And mm-hmm. I make up ground on obstacles. So for me, when they do a 5K sprint, right, there's the obstacle to running ratio is not bad.
Yeah.
But they're just so easy that I can't make up as much time, and they're not very challenging. I mean, unless
they just had the monkey bars and the multi-rig.
Yeah, yeah. And so pretty much it needs to be downpouring for me to get that advantage.
You
know, if it downpours, I do. I have that advantage again because people fall off that crap thing. But
yeah,
it's just, so that's why I don't get too jacked about racing many Spartans as much as I enjoy it. And I like watching it and I'm a giant fan, you know, until they throw in something that's a little more exciting for me. It just doesn't work for me. But I did still this weekend. So it came to this, right? I could have went up. The deal was, do I take work off on Friday, drive up, spend the night Saturday, go and walk and, you know, watch the super, because I'm not going to run the super because I don't do that. And then spend the night and then do the sprint the next day, right? So I'm like, you know what? It's really not, you know, it's not like a big series race or anything. It's a smaller level race, even though mm-hmm. it's not a bad drive. But I'm like, you know, that's a lot of money for me to lose. You know, they're not going to pay me if I don't show up. I don't know what's with that. But so they're not going to pay me if I don't come in. And then I'm like, well, that's a lot of money for me to invest for a race that I'm really not particularly interested in, to compete in. And then I thought, oh, so I didn't bother, right? And then on Saturday, when I was like scanning the results in the morning and everything, and then seeing some of the pictures. And by the way, Fidel did a great job with the IG stuff. He did really fantastic. Yeah. That was a really good job, Spartan Canada. You put out some awesome stories and I was really impressed with that. Anyway, I was like, crap, what I could have done was I could have drove out after work Friday night, crashed, slept till whenever I wanted, right? And then got up Saturday and just enjoyed and watched, and then spent Saturday night there and you know, done it Saturday. Or I could have went out Saturday morning and race Sunday and came back home, because it is about 4 hour drive for me.
Yeah, and that's not too bad.
No, that's still day tripping, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I really wanted. And I thought afterwards, I'm like, I kind of dropped the ball on that one. Maybe I should have went, because it did look like a fun course.
It did. And there was a swim in it.
Yeah, like that dunk wall looked awesome. That was the best looking dunk wall ever.
Yeah, it did.
You know, I was told by a few people it was very, very cold. But it was still very cool.
That's like, a very relative term.
Oh, that's right, Wim Hof. See, that's the problem. If you did it, you would have just got stuck there and sat there taking an ice bath. And then, like, I thought we were done. This was it, right? This is the cool part. But it looked like a great event. Quickly, OFX, Team OFX, Brendan Neely, again, double win, smoke show. However, I don't know if you saw this. Very disappointed in Brendan.
Really?
Yeah. Guy has no idea how to twist or right.
He failed it.
He did. And the funny thing was, he failed it. There was a race before, which would have been Brimacombe. Afterwards, I'm talking with him. He's like, dude, we got to have like a twister talk here. He goes, I'm bleeding time on twister. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, man, yeah, we should get together and have an obstacle day and we'll go through twister techniques. And then this one, I made fun of him because I said, I saw the video of you doing it. And I said, it looks like you had like four different techniques in mind and couldn't decide which one to do. So you thought you'd try them all.
And then he fumbled and missed.
And then he fumbled and missed the bell. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly what I did. But still, I mean, just as a like acknowledgement to his speed and whatnot, he still won by like 3 minutes, 4 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty significant.
He was fine. He is announcing his presence at the door.
Yeah.
Now, granted, again, these are not high, this, you know, there's good guys, good competitors, but no, you know, not like Jesse Bruce and Mick Jarello and you know, Sean Steele, guys like that, you know. So we'll see. I'm not sure if he's going to Montreal, but we'll see then how that goes and how he does, if he does go there and how he does there. Yeah, were you, did you feel missing out? Did you want to be there?
I did, because I was really, I was going up until that week. And then I was just like, it's just not smart. I need to be smart right now, coming back from injury still. And one of my clients was going, and it was her first Spartan race. She's been trying to do, she got injured last year. She got COVID before Toronto. So this was finally, she was going to get to race. So I really wanted to see her also. And she ended up winning her age group. So she's a very, very good rock climber who I've been training for a while now. And, I knew she would come onto the scene hot. And, yeah, so we're going to get her into some elite heats now. So, but she was super bummed about not getting to do all of the cool obstacles because her grip strength is like nothing I've ever seen for a woman.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I've seen her in action at your gym there. She's fit. I mean, I'll smoke her at the sit-ups. But yeah, she is, she's fit and she.
Yeah, she said the hoist was crazy heavy.
Well, she's not very big.
No, she's not. But she said she almost couldn't do it at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I did see some girls really struggling, actually.
Well, you know, but I think they should. I like the heavy voice. It should be heavy. It shouldn't be just like, off I go.
Do it and then, yeah.
Especially now. Especially now the tire flips out of it, too. Like, they need some more strength additives and you know, the hoist should be heavy. I'm just looking here now. I was looking at the results from the Saturday Elite, and for the men, it was Brennan, then Sean Philipto.
Yeah.
Podium. Good for Sean. He's getting some photo podiums there.
Yeah.
And Samuel Kerr, I'm not sure that happened there because I thought Tyler Krushinitsky was in, maybe that was the next day. So Samuel Kerr was for the Super on Saturday. Then for the women, wasn't it? Let's see here. Steph Champagne, Sarah Follette, and Colleen Coxon.
Colleen, yeah.
Yeah, so that was for the Super. Then for the Sunday Sprint, look at that. Spartan's website working well. Very impressed with that. Brennan Neely, Isaac Sanderson. Do you know him? I'm not familiar with him.
I've seen his name before, but I don't know him.
Tyler Krushinitsky. There you go. So yeah. Tyler and Sean doing a little flip-flop there or whatever. No, sorry, Sean. But either way, Tyler getting that one. I think Sean failed a spear throw on that. And then in first place, Leslie Huffman. So that's
cool.
A big fan. And coming out of pregnancy retirement, Morgan Mackay with second place. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And Susan McFarlane in third. But it was definitely good to see Morgan come out. And did you see the women's, again, the pretty much you could get the whole race from their stories. Did you see how it unfolded?
I didn't watch that one as closely as the day before.
Pretty much hit your spear throw, you get to win.
So was the winner, was that ultimately how she won?
I think so. I think that's what happened. It was a spear throw hit was the win.
And with 30 burpee penalty?
I think, yeah, it was 30 burpee penalty.
Well, and that sprint too, there wasn't even, it was one climb and then you go down and then everything's down and then you do this flat run. So if you... you can run so fast on those flats that if you have to do 30 burpees, like you just can't make up that time.
No, not on a sprint, especially. It's
no,
you know, I mean, on a beast, maybe, you know, stuff like that, but 30.
Yeah, burpees. You can, and it depends on where it is in the race too.
Yeah. But you got to figure the average person, I mean, I'm talking average, very fit person is still going to be a minute and a half to 2:30 doing burpees.
Yeah.
Unreasonable. Maybe even three, some people.
Like 90 seconds is good.
Yeah, 90 seconds is good, but that's hauling and that's, you know.
Yeah.
Let's just say 90 seconds. So you got to make up a minute and a half on the run. That's enough.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Five-day race, that's huge. So, yeah, it looked like to me, like I thought one of the girls hit the spear and then it was like a death blow to everybody else.
So, that's the way it is.
Yeah, that's why it's dumb. The there's another race too that happened this weekend that I have severe FOMO about and I want to go do next year. I'm putting it on my short list for next year. Mm-hmm. And that's Frontline OCR. Do you know that one?
Is this the name change?
Nope.
Was it Indian Mud Run? No.
Indian Mud Run, we can talk about that. So we can talk. Indian Mud Run, I am doing this year. That's my, so I have like a bucket list of races I want to do. Mm-hmm. Right? And both these are, but Indian Mud Run, so we'll go there instead. Indian Mud Run's always been on my bucket list as ones to do. And it's always one of those ones that's called like the best prep for OCR, WC, or NORAM. Because there's a lot of similar obstacles. And it's run by Hubie Cushman out in Ohio. And it's a permanent course. It is unreal. They do great awards, lots of variety in the races, really interesting scoring system. Like, it's mandatory completion. So you like this, okay? It's a little complicated. And at least this was last year. So I'm not sure if they've changed it. I do not believe they have. So it runs mandatory completion. However, there are certain obstacles. I can't remember the number of them. Let's just say 10, even though I know that's wrong. But that are, you can fail them and then you can still proceed, right? You can still continue. But if you, let's say you fail an obstacle, right? And you and I are racing, you fail an obstacle and you beat me by an hour and a half, but I get all my obstacles, I win.
Wow.
All right. So if you fail an obstacle and you give up on it, right, you can multi-attempt, right? But if you give up on it, you are automatically only able to beat those people who have failed one obstacle or more. So it's a little complicated.
Yeah.
But what
isn't that kind of how OCRWC works though? Because there's all the full completion and then they list the non-completion after.
Yes, but in Indian Mud Run, you could still get second place failing one obstacle.
Oh, and like actually podium.
Yeah, and fairly, right? Because all that means, so say I'm the only one that goes through clean, and then all the other guys in my age group fail one obstacle. Even if they're faster, I win. But then the fastest guy who only failed one obstacle comes second.
So you're kind of then gambling, like if you need to move on from an obstacle, you're kind of gambling, hoping that everybody else does.
Exactly.
Mm.
Which, you know, yeah, it's an interesting thing, but it's a one of a kind of scoring system. I don't know anybody else who does it. And it is a little complicated, but I think he's got it down on a computer system now where they like, you didn't get through. So they scan you, you failed that one and away you go. Obviously it also requires volunteers who pay attention.
So
I've always wanted to go out there and do it because I've never heard anyone say, oh, I didn't like Indian Mud Run. Never. And I mean, I've paid it and everybody renowned loves this race. This year they've added a 3K.
There you go,
all up in my jam. Pack the truck up, pack the van up, we're going. So anyway, so that's this year and that's coming up soon too. But Frontline OCR is another one that I've watched before, and it's been on my list as well. They do not have a 3K. It's a 10K race, which is very long for me. However, they have an interesting thing. You do the race with a 20-pound weight vest on, including all the obstacles. And if you complete it, you get to keep the weight vest.
Oh, so people don't complete it?
Oh, yeah. I think you're talking less than 50% will complete it.
Oh, and they can't physically finish it, or they can't complete the obstacles.
They can't complete the obstacles.
So oh, you have okay. To
complete all the obstacles with the weight vest on, and then if you do so, you get to keep the weight vest. And I'm like, that is totally cool. I don't care about, like, I would go there and not care about racing because it's too long a distance for me. I don't like to race that far.
Yeah.
But I'm totally into keeping that weight vest.
Did Chris Rogowski do this?
Yeah, and she won because that's what she does.
Oh, okay. Because I saw her racing in a weight vest this weekend.
Yeah. So she won that to no one's surprise. There was a race. Chris went. She won. What the hell? I want to invite Chris for dinner. So I think I'm just going to like post that there's a race here and I figure she'll show up.
Yeah.
Plus she'll pay the entry. So then I don't even have to pay for the dinner. Right. You know, so. She's just on fire. That's unreal.
I know. I don't know how she races that much.
Well, one, I mean, she's obviously young and very durable and has that natural recovery, right?
Yeah.
But that, do you think like long-term that could get bad?
Yeah. I mean, I hope she has some significant off season at some point. Like, I don't know who's in charge of her training or if it's her. I think her dad might play a part, but yeah, like you can't do that year after year after year, racing every weekend.
It's like, and she never seems to get injured either, right?
I know. Some people are honestly, it's like their mechanics are perfect.
She's pretty durable. So anyway, what was my well say for that race? So first place, Chad Coleman, with men. Chad Coleman, second, Kevin Thompson, third, Caleb Tucker. That's for the men. For the women, Chris Rogalski, Alaya MS, and Morgan Wurst, who clearly was not the worst. But I am a dad, I'm allowed. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. Like I said, I really am interested in checking that race out. Mm-hmm. The other thing here I wanted to do, I've developed a new hobby. this came to me here, and it kind of happened by accident. So it's reading Instagram posts from people we know who speak a different language through the Instagram translator. Yeah, so this is Thomas Burdick, who was in the High Rocks Elite 15. Very, very awesome athlete, amazing guy. And he did I think it was his first Spartan just over the weekend over in, I believe it was Slovak. Is it still Slovakia or is it Slovak?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, well, it's written here. So, ready? Here we go. Thomas Burdick through translator. After a long time, I went to the Spartan race, specifically the sprint in Slovak, Samarin. Nice and hella fast on the flat, where I fought for the crate to javelin. Unfortunately, after the javelin, I did not fight for the crate anymore because the bait with the tip flew past the target and ended in the sand, and 30 Englishmen were waiting for me. So I joined Pavel Horinda, OCR, who would also starve in the wild because he would not catch anything, and we practiced nicely together. He catch such a loss on such a short and fast race. So I took 11 at the finish line, place in the elite category, 30-20, but overall it was pretty good. If all goes well, maybe I'll run race tomorrow. Super.
The Joe. What did they call the crate? So you say that's in podium.
I think crate that's I was thinking crate maybe meant win, but you're right. Probably means podium.
Yeah.
So that was good. I just did that the other day. I'm like, this is funny. I enjoy that. And I will continue next week and I will find other crate posts to read.
It's like where I forget which comedian does this, but where he has celebrities read like where people trash them online.
Oh, mean tweets.
Yeah.
Those are really good. Yeah. There was somebody else I saw that did something like this where they would take a song that was maybe in English and then translate it through Google Translator into Chinese and a Mandarin and then back from the translated version into English. Just how freaking far off it was when it originally started.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so like I said, I got High Rocks this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. You're not coming for this one.
Well, you have RX1 this
weekend. RX1, sorry, not High Rocks. RX1. And you're not coming because you're a big sissy. I didn't say it. It's what people are saying.
Who are these people?
I don't want to trash anybody. I want to say, right? That's, I do that. Right? I don't talk about other people's back. But people are saying you're a big sissy and that you didn't do RX1 this weekend. But I'm really excited. Here's the thing, though. Apparently, it's like a Western theme, and I've never heard them do this before, where it's like a Western theme. I don't.
So you're supposed to wear an item of clothing that follows the theme.
I don't have anything like that. And I'm just going to
claim. You're going to be racing in cut-off jean shorts. Cowboy hat. Get a bandana, put it around your neck.
I'm just going to claim I didn't understand the translation. But I'm still trying to figure out. I got messages out. Are there double unders in this thing? Should I be practicing these all week? I don't know. It's still, I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be another good one. And we do not have to drive through Montreal traffic for this one. So I'm
yes.
Really it'll be a lot of fun. Another good race, good weather. It doesn't look like it's going to be as hot there as it was today.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
But what is next for you? What are you prepping for?
Mount Tremblant.
Tremblant.
Yeah, so June 18th.
I think there's going to be a lot of elevation in that.
I know. I need my calf to get better because it just blew it up. And Toronto Spartan wasn't even that bad. But yeah, I think it's going to be crazy. I'm having flashbacks of Owl's Head.
Yeah.
Where it was just like insane, where a super takes you almost 3 hours because there's just so much elevation.
And they can do that at Tremblant, right? You know,
but I know, yeah. But it'll be good prep, I think, for North Americans in Kelowna. So it makes the most sense with that being one of my A races.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, it'll definitely be one of the most beautiful races too. And that village there is just, Tremblant is just amazing.
I know. I love Tremblant. Yeah.
And the Formula One races there that weekend. You know what I tried to do? I tried to make that a double rake weekend where I would go to the Spartan race and then sneak over on Sunday to Montreal to do the Formula One, to watch the Formula One race.
Oh, watch it.
Yes. They're not going to let me race. What's up with that?
Don't you just pay your registration fee and they give you a car?
So. Because, I mean, if pentathlon can give people horses, right?
Right.
Formula One should be able to give me a car. I think it's only fair. Yeah, but I mean, I tried this as soon as I figured out they were coincided on the same weekend and they were already sold out. And I think even if they were sold out, I probably couldn't have afforded the ticket anyway because Formula One's really expensive. So that ship has sailed, but that would have been really sweet. Yeah.
Not my thing.
So, but other than the calf, how's the training going? Is everything else ready?
Oh yeah, everything else is fine. And I'm being pretty cautious about it too. But everything else feels fine. I'm just, the good thing about mountain racing is cycling is such a good simulation with the same push patterns with your legs. So I've just been cycling a lot more. We've got out on the mountain bikes on the weekend and just put in some time that way. So.
Well, you need to take care of it because I need you healthy for DECA Chicago because I've been shooting my mouth off a lot. Not about me, just not about what you're going to do. So you got to back it up. So I'm writing checks.
I'll be good. I know. I'll be writing
checks that you need to cash.
Are you betting on me? Oh, no.
Yeah. You know, it's only reasonable. But yeah.
I'll be fine by then. Yeah. And it's honestly, again, it's uphill, like flat and fast is not the same.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's probably one other thing we should mention. And that is that we are starting and we have started doing some training, some OFX training online, you know, coaching. You probably would do a better job describing it than me, but.
Yeah. So we are offering online coaching through, and we use the app Training Peak. So you have regular communication between us and yourself, and we can have feedback that way. And all of your data gets uploaded to the program, so we can also keep an eye on it. So whether you're training for OCR, I also specialize in if you're just doing road racing, and Dave is a whiz at the gym
stuff, monster
rip workouts. So yeah, if you need some help figuring out how to train for any of your races, we would love to help you.
Yeah. And like I said, to keep on the lookout for the post for about doing a contest, and I will be making a post about this as well. So we will have that out on Instagram and wherever else and be making notes. But yeah, pretty limited though. We're not taking on a lot of people. Just,
yeah.
So it'll be limited numbers, and we're already kind of getting some of that already gone. So
yeah.
So, yes, get them all. Anyway. But yeah, that's good for me. Is there anything else that you're that you need to talk about? I know you're still upset about your son.
I know. Oh.
You know what? Actually, I had a guy just talking about, because I said you should win full Karen, but two guys got mad at me on the way home today.
Driving?
Well, one was driving. So one, I went and got my eyes checked because I'm 46 and I'm finally noticing that really, really, really close. Like I've had really perfect, like 20/20 plus vision forever. Mm-hmm. Now I've noticed that really, really close, mostly when I was welding at work, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Things are not perfect. So I decided to get my eyes checked, and sure enough, yes, age has finally caught me, and you know, but on my way into the optometrist, this guy walks by. I park the van, I get out. This guy walks by and he has a skateboard and a glass chessboard. And this caught my attention. And I'm like, I kind of did a double look, like, well, that's odd. And he looked over and he saw me look at him, and he literally said, like, he was in grade three, take a picture, it'll last longer.
Oh, wow.
And I laughed because I couldn't think what else to say, because it was just so cheesy. This guy had to be 46. Like, he was my age, and he's saying that. I'm like, really? I was tempted to take my phone out and take a picture, because I'm like, so oh, you got, yeah, he got mad. I don't know. Maybe I stared too long, but don't walk around with chessboards and skateboards. It doesn't make sense. There's no correlation.
It's random. And then
another guy got mad at me, and this was driving, because somebody's always getting mad at you driving. Driving, lane is merging. I'm in the lane that's merging into the other lane. So I'm in the slow lane because that's what I drive. Merging lane, sign, 150 meters left in the lane. I pull over. Guy pulls over in front of me, hammers his brakes. I hammer my brakes. Guy behind me has to hammer his brakes, right? That's just what happens. Mm. So when the lanes split again for a turning lane, guy behind me, and you know, not to be one of those guys, but he was in a BMW. And he like flips me off, and I'm like, what was I supposed to do there?
Right.
Was I supposed to, like, because he was way behind me when, like, I knew where he was. I was aware of him when I pulled over in the other lane, because I looked to make sure it was safe to pull over, to merge. Mm. And he was way behind me, so he was flying. So apparently I needed to wait until he flew by me as fast as he could before I merged lanes, and then he would have been happy. But I'm like, people were getting mad at me today. It was rough.
I don't know. You know what? They also, there's stats that show that when the temperature rises, more crimes are committed.
Really?
Yeah.
Angry people, I guess.
Yeah.
I would think, you know, in a BMW, his air conditioning should be working.
You're right. You're right.
Mind you, it's more expensive to fix in those cars. I'd be honest, I'm not against BMWs or German cars in general, but, you know, this happens. Seems like a lot of correlation there. I'm not trying to be prejudiced, but you know, BMW drivers, you got to pick up the slack. Anyway, I'm all good. Beth, you good?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks so much for listening. And we might see you at RX1. We might see you at Mount Tremblant or any other race that Dave decides to jump in the meantime. But until next time, and keep your eyes out for those posts about our giveaways.
Take care.